We'll get our meeting started. This is the meeting of the Curriculum and Testing Committee held on November 14, 2024. Our meeting start time this morning is 9:24. Had a slight delay this morning. We'll begin with a roll call and excuse absence of committee members. Present today are myself, Pat McAuliffe, Louis Havens, Chris Watson, and Sam Bockham, and Buddy Rice. Absent today are Daryl Moretka, Chuck French, and Doug Mathajitz. Those three have submitted excused absences. And David Davida, is that correct? Did I pronounce his last name correct?
Davila, yeah.
Davila, okay. Did not submit any requests and is not here today. So if someone wants to make a motion to approve the...
I'll make a motion to approve.
All right. So we have a motion to approve. Second?
Second.
Okay. Second by Buddy. All right. So motion to approve excused absence for Del Moretka, Chuck French, and Doug Mathajitz, but not Martin Davila. Okay. All right. Item two, approval of committee meeting minutes. Our last meeting, we did not have a quorum, and as a result, there are no committee meeting minutes to approve. So item three, discussion and possible action on application for Marine Ad Hoc Committee. At this time, I'll open it up to anyone who has information about Marine Ad Hoc Committee.
I would suggest that we reopen the application process and try to reach out to the Marine fighters across the state. Some of them may not have even known that this process was going on. But we probably need at least a few more people on that committee for it to be productive.
So a question for staff. Can we identify all of the Marine certification holders? Okay. Is that something we can pull from?
Absolutely, yeah.
To send them a, hey, did you know there's an opening on a committee?
I know y'all can push out to like all the program coordinators. I just wondered if you could identify people by their certification, push stuff out that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It would be as easy as sending a help desk ticket to IT, and they would be able to pull all those emails for us.
Okay.
I think we'll get more outreach like that.
How many applied the first time?
We have a total of three.
Okay.
Three?
And I believe from our last regular meeting, two of those three were approved. We got the third one shortly after that meeting and have not had a regular meeting since.
Okay. All right. Okay. So can we get that done before our next meeting? Do you think to post it?
Oh, absolutely. Or,
okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to post it and make an attempt to send directly to the current?
Yeah, we're going to have to post it regardless of whether
right,
we
right.
target. But I really think a target reminder, since it is such a small and specialized group, I think it's warranted.
No, absolutely.
At this point. And then that way maybe we can generate some interest.
Is it that maybe people just don't know what the ad hoc committee is going to do? Or I mean, maybe some sort of explanation
yeah,
in that letter that...
There could be a lot, and I know when we were first starting that first round of Marine applications is when they were first starting that online application process for the working committees. So utilizing that tool now, I think we'll be able to reach a few more and get that a little bit quicker.
I mean,
less work for them.
No, it might affect their certification, that kind of thing. Kind of explain what the ad hoc's supposed to do. Might be able to help, too.
Can absolutely... work with you guys after the meeting and get a good language set so we can send it out.
Yeah, I just think it'd be, because people don't, okay, ad hoc, what's that? You know, they don't know it could affect their certification in their specialized field, and we need them as experts, so that'd be good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments on ad hoc Marine Committee?
I'm assuming we'll stick with the same requirements that we have for the first time. Do we have an end date, like a week before the next meeting or anything like that, so we can get you guys some applications and stuff to review before?
Yeah, let's go with 10 days before our next meeting.
10 days.
That allows you guys a little buffer. I don't think you're not going to have as many people apply as like some other committees.
No, with the other committees, we've been talking about defining the parameters that we want, like we were talking about the EM earlier.
Right.
If we can get that really defined and ironed out, we've got a new system for doing the online application process. So I know that's another item coming up.
Right.
The rest of the ad hoc committees, but if we could really spell out how we want these applications to look and also provide the information to the applicants so that they know what they're applying for, like Buddy was saying, that would help. I don't know if we can get that done today or not, but.
We can follow up after the meeting. As far as ad hocs.
Do we need to make a motion on that?
I don't know that we actually need a motion on that because it's more directive to staff to set that in motion. It's not really.
Essentially, yeah. How the rules written right now in 463, the creation and appointment of committee, ad hoc committee members will stay with the chair, so we don't need a motion on that.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay, if not, we'll move to item four, discussion of possible action related to Texas Department of Emergency Management, Emergency Manager Ad Hoc Committee. So let me start off by saying that we did receive, I believe it was like 66 or 67 applications to serve on this committee. I think what I'd like to do on this agenda item right now is to just talk a little bit about maybe what our structure might look like. But I don't want to discuss any names until we go into executive session. So guys, if y'all want to talk about anything we should be looking for in particular.
So I went through all the applications yesterday. And it varies quite a bit by region as to who applied or how many applied. Some regions were real heavy, some regions were not so heavy. One region did not even have one person express interest in it. I think we should do our best to try to get good quality candidates from each region. I think some regions need to be weighed more heavily than others. Just because of the multiple hazards and the diversity of those counties or those jurisdictions. I think we may want to pull more out of some of those more densely populated areas. Now, last night, we got a map yesterday of all the TCFP regions, which is normally when we're looking for committee members, we try to get people from out west, from down south, from central Texas, from north Texas, from up in the panhandle, over in east Texas. We try to do a good job of representing the entire state. Well, I'm not sure how the TCFP districts were formed. I'm sure it had something to do with population or number of departments in those areas. But since this is an emergency management project, I went and pulled the newest TDEM region district map. And they've got eight, whereas we only have seven. And if we use that map to define the regions, it doesn't make a lot of difference in some of the regions, of TCFP regions, but it does in others. for example, District 4 currently would have no representation. If we used Region 2 out of off the TDM map, there would be representation from that area. So, I mean, it's up to y'all, but we could keep it a straight TCFP project, but I know on the short list that I came up with, I tried to identify folks by both, and I didn't go through all 66, but I mean, you can just look at the map, you can tell that it's a little, of course, there's 8 districts instead of, or 8 regions instead of 7, so it does kind of cut the state up into, I guess, more digestible bites. But that's something we can talk about. I mean, what do y'all think? Should we stick with doing it by TCFP region, or should we do it by TDM region? This is a problem I've got with a lot of the state agencies. When you start talking about TCFP regions, and you start talking about the TDM regions, and then you start talking about the DSHIS regions, everybody's got different regions.
Well, they have to, because that's...
I know. I get that.
I mean, our agency commission is a great example. Dallas-Fort Worth area, that's Region 3, and that only has 4 counties.
Right.
But it's heavily populated and a lot of paid firefighters, which are regulated. So that's why you can take the state, and there's 100 different regions in the state. It just depends on what it is you're talking about. You know, there's geographical, there's, you know, every kind of region you can imagine. So I like Department of Emergency Management region concept, because it does include some areas that, if we follow the TCFP region, are left out. I like that concept. When I did my research, basically, out of the 66 some odd people that responded, we had roughly. And these numbers are very rough, but I think they kind of go to what you were talking about on, if I can find my map here, what you were talking about, some areas were heavier than others. For example, 18% of the applicants came out of Region 1, which includes part of the coast all the way up into Travis County, the Austin area, 7% from Region 2, which is pretty much the panhandle over to El Paso. Region 3 had 14%. That's the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Region 4 had no representation, and that was kind of the area around Dallas-Fort Worth, up along the Red River, but also extending down somewhat into Central Texas. Region 5, TCFP Region 5 had 14% representation. Region 5 is basically East Texas. Region 6 is the Houston area, which runs from Galveston all the way up to College Station. And then Region 7 is South Texas. So everything kind of from San Antonio all the way down to the border, down into Brownsville, that area. So that just gives an idea of, you were right, we had 35% came from Region 6, which is the Houston area. That's our largest represented area based on the number of applicants.
Yeah, looking at it, I mean, as far as applicants versus the two maps, I think we'll get a fairer representation across the board, maybe kind of going by the TDM map. It kind of breaks up them big cluster areas as far as the fire commission's regions. Like I said, you had 33% in that 6, where it breaks it up almost 3 ways on the TDM map, so that would help us That's just my thought.
I like the TDEM map, too. I think it shows us being responsive to the stakeholders that are those emergency managers.
Okay. Let's ask another question to our staff. When we talk about holding these committee meetings, I know the room that we normally do our committee work in, there's only like 10 chairs in there. Can we do meetings down here? And clearly there's space in this room, but can we get the AV and stuff set up to where they could work, like we work upstairs, or is that not doable? I'm open to your thoughts.
I would say potentially in the future, absolutely. As of right now, this is kind of what we're stuck with at the moment. So I don't think we can take anything out of the other meeting room at this point, just because it is technically a state meeting room.
Right.
Once we get those extra TVs up and everything that would allow virtual work, I think that would absolutely be able to accommodate what you're asking.
Do you have any timeline? Are we talking a month? Are we talking a year?
I know we have TVs. I don't know how much more we need to get that done. No timelines yet.
I mean, even if you took that corner room to my right and just made a big circle of tables right there and put some chairs around it and put a projector and a portable screen up, I mean, that would meet the requirements. I mean, we just need a space where we get a lot of people in the room to talk.
Right.
Now, I'll be honest with everybody, and I think everybody knows this. I think we're going to have a lot of people show up for the first meeting, and then subsequent meetings, you're probably not going to have as many people show. And that's going to be for a lot of reasons. Some people are going to lose interest. Some people are going to figure out that their full-time job keeps them too busy to take time out for this. And then there's going to be a few that are going to be here every time, even if we schedule on Christmas.
So, Louie, I agree. I think you could set up that corner, maybe a U-shaped table configuration. And my initial thought, and I'm not stuck on this, but I was just kind of looking at a number that was a little bigger than what we could handle in that other room. I gave a number, a target number. Maybe we look for 17 members. But if you want to go more than that, if we have the quality, if that's what we need, then I'm okay with that. What'd you say?
I was thinking 13.
You were thinking 13? Okay. Did you?
Too many heads in the room. We go muddle.
Well, I was kind of basing it on, I was going to say exactly what Louie was saying. We always lose a percentage.
No, just true.
For whatever reason, we lose people. So if you have 17 and let's say you lose three or four, now you're down to your 10 or 13,
right.
Which
yeah.
You may ultimately wind up being able to use a room upstairs, you know. So,
well,
if we start off with 20 or 25, then I think it's going to be a zoo, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine 25 people in here going well, at all.
You saw how that, I think, Chris, you were there for the initial meeting with the tech guys. Didn't y'all have a meeting with all the tech?
Tech Rescue?
I think so. It was a long time ago. It was at the old building.
I think so.
In the room with the fixed seats?
Yes.
I think we did one.
Split,
just so we had like that.
Have everybody go there one time and explain.
General ground rules, and then we broke it into
yeah.
the three.
How chaotic was that?
That wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad?
No.
It wasn't memorable.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I would think if it was chaos, that we would probably still remember that was a terrible idea.
Well, I think we can go. I mean, once we decide to start working on the list, we just know we need to be in the 15 or 19 range. And you know, if we can't stand to mark somebody off the list at 15, then we keep going, you know, or whatever that is. I don't think until we all put our heads together, diving through the list, you know, nobody, you know, because all these guys want to be involved in it, because it's pretty important to their field, so we want to make sure they have fair representation as much as possible, too.
Okay. All right. So, again, we're not talking about looking at names right at this minute. Is there any other criteria that you guys want to?
Well, I read through all, like I said, all the applications, and I based most of what's going to be my recommendations based on the information found in the box on page one of the application, where it says, please list the name of the group, its charge, and your role, and it's referring to committees, advisory committees, counselors, task force, or work groups. And then I also based it on the response to briefly explain why you are the right fit for the committee role. I include any current TCFP certifications you hold. I will say this, we have a fairly diverse, I mean, we have a very diverse set of folks here. Mm-hmm. All of them got some degree of experience in emergency management. Some of them have extensive experience in emergency management. There's a lot of people in here that wear two hats or have worn two hats as either fire chiefs and EMCs or work in law enforcement and are EMCs. There are fire marshals and EMCs. There's folks from with a medical background. There was only one private sector applicant that I came across.
I think I may have found you one more.
Okay.
That we can talk about.
And then there's a few academics that applied as well. People that are running either associate degree programs or baccalaureate or master's degree programs at various colleges and universities. So I think we can get a pretty diverse group out of this. I also know that there's a couple of applicants that I know personally that were very modest in how they described their experience. I think we have an opportunity here to represent large and small, metropolitan and rural, off the application base that we have.
Okay. Earlier, I think, Sam, you had found the criteria to apply.
Dan provided it to us. Yeah.
Let's make sure that we follow that when we.
It's not tabulated, and that's fine. We can work around that. I just want to make sure that we know what all the committee members here know what it is. So look it up for us.
So the minimum requirements are basically years of experience, 10 or more years of active experience in emergency management. It's pretty broad.
Okay.
Recommended requirements are going to be a instructor certification, so TCFP Instructor 2, DISH's EMS Instructor or Coordinator, or TCOL Instructor. Additionally, there is an education component, so college, university, or professional education experience, prior college or university teaching in emergency management or disaster response. And then a recommended requirement that they are either a CEM, Certified Emergency Manager, or a TEM, Texas Emergency Manager. Which I think there's some value in those because those are the pathways that they're trying to take to get to their other certification credentials. So having that level of representation on this would be important to make sure that those components are addressed.
So I will say this, there were the vast majority of applicants, there was quite a few of these applicants that were either TEM, CEM, or both credentialed. There's one of them that applied that is a mentor for the TEM program, and there's another one that's a mentor for the CEM program. We also had pretty good representation from the Emergency Management Association of Texas. There's quite a few people that applied, including a couple of past presidents, a current president, and a member of the board of directors. And I probably overlooked a couple. But
There was definitely that representation.
Yes.
There was at least one I noticed that had let their CEM, TEM lapse, but was in the process of trying to get it back.
Yeah.
But I'd say maybe approximately half of them noted that they had that credential.
So but one thing that was not on there, not everybody identified their years of experience in the field. Now, some of them may feel like if they've been in the fire service for 20 years and they've had 5 years working as a
emergency manager
or emergency management specialist,
yeah,
that qualifies them. That's a discussion we could have, but there's no way to actually identify that on many of these applications. Some of them, they came right out and said they got 30 years in the fire service and 20 years in working in emergency management, that kind of thing.
Okay. There are others that say something like 15 years of experience with firefighting or whatever, and then 3 years in emergency management. So the question is, does the firefighting, and I think at some level it could, depending on what they did, or the same for law enforcement, there is a component of emergency management in every one of these.
Right.
The same would go for EMS. If you had a senior EMS person that did a lot to work with, you know, response and recovery of mass casualty or some other kind of emergency, medical emergency.
Right. And in some cases, that comes along with the job. I know a couple of different fire departments out there. You get hired, you're also an EMC, yeah, you know. As a fire chief, anyway.
So it does seem a little vague in that perspective, but I do think that, I mean, we're all managing emergencies at some level, whether it's fire, police, EMS.
And one thing that I would also like to remind everybody is that when you are looking at some of these folks, I know we're firefighters and we like to look at everything from the response piece of the puzzle. However, there is preparedness, recovery, mitigation. Those are all key components. Mm-hmm. And just because you think you've been in emergency management for a few years, if you've never worked a major incident and had to deal with recovery efforts, or debris management contracts, or putting together a hazard mitigation plan for your county or your region, you're not going to be nearly as in tune with what we're trying to, or what is trying to be done here to drive the professional level of emergency managers across the state. Improve it.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have some just broad consideration? Okay, so we'll go ahead and table this for now, and we will actually start looking at the applications once we're in executive session. All right. We'll move on. Excuse me. Move on to item 5, discussion and possible action related to the Technical Rescue Ad Hoc Committees.
So as you all are aware, the grandfathering period has started for the rope rescue. Initially, when we put everybody together, we had a rope group, we had a water rescue group, and we had a vehicle extrication group, but I think that kind of morphed more into a confined space group. Is that correct?
I think they changed to trench.
Trench, that's okay. Yes. Sorry, I had some of that. So some of the work is complete. Some of the work is has been submitted, but has been kind of idle, partly because of the reasons in the standard. A lot of those requirements are building blocks. For instance, before you can do water rescue, you have to have rope certification, so on and so forth. And even within water, before you can do swift water, you have to have static water.
Surface
water, sorry. So I think what we probably need to do is start to move forward with the water rescue, and perhaps reach back out to those committee members. They have not met as a group in a pretty good while, is my understanding. And then also, we need to appoint a chair of the overall group. DJ Walker with Austin did a great job of getting us off the ground. He has since stepped away from it, and so we need to find a replacement. So I'm thinking we probably need to send a notice to all those groups and have a discussion at another meeting on who should be the designated chair. So I think that's the way that I'd like to move forward to that. I know there were some names thrown out there, but I think our group needs to vet that out. So I think at that time, too, we can be a little more aggressive with an actual date of getting some water stuff going. I know there was some discussion about overlapping of grandfathering, but I did some checking on that, and I think the intent there was is we couldn't overlap grandfather within the same discipline. In other words, we weren't going to run, I'm just using this as an example, we weren't going to run ropes, get it started, and then right on the tail of it start running swift water. But if we ran different disciplines, that was a different story. In other words, so that was what was shared with me earlier. So we can still revisit that, but I do think we owe it to the folks who did some work on that water rescue to at least start to revisit that and look at their work, because we really haven't seen their work. And let's reach out to each of those members and evaluate their interest level in continuing, because I'm sure there's still going to be some work to be done, and that'll buy us a little bit of time to let the rope thing kind of process through, then we can jump into water rescue. So I definitely want to keep it on the radar, and as soon as we can make that happen, I think we'd be good to do that. So
the question I have, and maybe Sam or Chris can answer this. What would prevent us from going ahead and activating some more of those subcommittees to start working on the other rescue disciplines? Even though we have the ones right now that we're working on that are building blocks toward the other, are we utilizing all of the applicants for technical rescue, or do we have some guys that are stuck in a corner waiting on their sub-discipline to pop up?
I think part of it's just staff having enough resource to coordinate and manage the process of developing it.
Well, I mean,
we can kickstart any of this and probably start working on any one of them that fits in that career path, but it does take work from us and T TCFP staff to facilitate that process. You know that, but I think the bigger question is how much are we willing to commit? You know, how many certs are we willing to start on at one time?
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
And I feel like, you know, it's kind of like any way you treat a volunteer. If you use them all the time and wear them out, then they're done. But if you like neglect them and don't use them enough, then they're done.
Right.
So we've got to balance our abilities with keeping them engaged enough that they feel like they're part of a team. And I personally don't think that we should probably tackle more than about two rescue certs at a time. You know, just like this, we've got 60-something applicants on this other project, but obviously we can't use all of them. We just try to select what we can and
right.
And try to choose those SMEs that can best facilitate us in the fastest pace we can to get those things done. But I don't know if Chris, you've got more to add to that.
No, I agree with that. I think we're trying to do too much. We started with vehicle rescue, water, and rope, and the vehicle rescue has changed to trench, and now rope is done, and we told them to transition to confined space. So current direction is trench, confined space, and water, and that's a lot, especially if we're talking grandfather periods and new curriculum and us that test questions and some work on staff. That's a lot, and the new edition of 1006 will come out in 27. So I'm concerned about giving them direction to work on building out curriculum based on the current standard when we probably won't be able to put out the new curriculum certification before the new standard comes out.
I really think we can get those things done fairly quick if we have the appropriate reference material. Because mm-hmm. All we're doing really is building out test instruments. We're building out test banks and skill sheets.
Yeah.
There's not any actual written curriculum that we're putting together. We're putting together the packet.
Yeah, that's not what it is.
That doesn't take any time.
No. It is writing test questions. It's vetting test questions. Yeah. It's work on staff for the grandfather period. It's the rules.
But I think a couple of other things to consider are going to be if it's an ad hoc committee for, let's say, for rope,
mm-hmm.
ops and tech rope. Our last discussion, they're done. That closes that ad hoc, and they have to reapply for the next ad hoc, which would be, so, you know, that's a different direction than us being able to just fast forward them and say, hey, let's go to the next certificate, and we need to verify which path are we taking here. And then on top of that, I don't necessarily agree that a rope rescue technician is the right person to put into a trench rescue technician ad hoc committee, because it's apples and oranges. There's a little bit of rope involved in that, but there's a whole lot more that has to do with many other aspects that we don't want to get in the weeds here for. So are we choosing the right people for those ad hoc committees? So in that instance, to me, it does make sense for them to reapply to another certificate that they are interested in working on.
See, it was my impression that when we asked for a technical rescue ad hoc committee, that we were going to get multiple rescue discipline trained people to come in, and then we were going to use that same group of people in all these little subcommittees of that ad hoc committee.
And I think that's a noble idea, and I think that's how we tried to approach it to begin with. But looking at the career path and having these certs before you can even start these certs, we're basically putting people on the back burner that could be, you know, it depends. If it's one cert a year, I mean, they could be on back burner for like 8 years before we get around to their specialty. And so you just kind of put them off, and now they're put off. So I think moving forward, my thoughts are that we should probably approach it with what's the next cert, and then make sure that if that next cert is, say, flood water rescue, or if it is trench rescue, that we send out notice that we're taking applications for this very specific discipline and try to get those people that have that SME. People that are structure collapse specialists aren't necessarily trench collapse specialists.
So I agree with you, but I think we can do it with the current group. We have guys who've been wanting to be involved, especially the water people who have done some work. So I think if we move forward with surface water and swift water and say that's what we're going to work on, all the other stuff's going to be put on hold, and then we reach out to that group and who wants to be involved with that, and we identify a new chairperson, and then we work on that. And then if 2 years or 3 years on the road, we want to and have time and have the ability to do trench, and we can reconvene ad committees for those specific purposes.
And I think using basically the same group of people for rope and confined space is a great idea, because if you've got one, you got the other. I mean, everybody that's got a confined space background, it's got a rope background.
Has a rope background, yeah, totally. So, and I agree with Chris on that. I think we focus on trying to finish water rescue, finish the surface, tag team it with one of the two. I would recommend swift water. It's going to be the more more sought after cert than flood. And then step back and decide what should be our next one to offer, and try to find people that are interested in that discipline. And it may be part of the people that we already have, but it may be that we find others that have that background and training specific to the next cert. And also let these others know, hey, here's what's going on, because I think they're either in limbo wondering what's going on, or they're just totally done with us because we haven't talked to them in 2 years.
So I'm a big fan of let's finish what we started. Bottom line, finish what we started. The water has been very gracious and patient, and I think we need to just regroup, put out a call for who wants to reapply, and continue in the process, appoint a chair for water, and we move on, and we don't worry about trench or any of the others right now. Let's just take them one at a time. I'm afraid we're going to put too much on the plate of staff, because we've got other standards that are up for revision. So it's one thing to have all this new stuff, but we're getting ready to hit basic firefighter. What's what I call them, the big four. It's basic firefighter. There's three others. Maybe it's driver operator. Some they all are due at the same time. And to try to take on more than one technical rescue in addition to that, plus we're looking at emergency manager, I'm kind of thinking we could just, inevitably capsize this whole thing if we're not careful. So I'd be in favor of let's finish what we started. Let's put out a call for the water rescue folks, and certainly would encourage those who have participated to express an interest again and utilize their efforts so that we can help see them through, and we'll go from there.
Don't we owe it to the ones that's already been appointed to contact them, see if there's still one to continue? Yes,
absolutely. That's what I'm talking
about. And then we might not need to go out for more people.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if we just reach out to them and say, hey, we're gonna resurrect this, and are you still interested? And then we get a solid number, and then we pick a chair. We pick a leader in that group, and then we move forward.
Well, if we don't have enough surface and swift, there's a large component of rope there as well.
Yeah.
And so we already have members that have worked through this on the rope committee that maybe we can get them to augment.
Yes.
Where the swift water guys.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we open it to all that whole group and say we're only going to focus on water. Who wants to be part of the water?
There you go. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Would you like me to do that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's work with it. Needs to come from staff.
Okay.
But y'all work on the wording on how you want to do that. And there's a talented pool there that we should reach out from. And in this way, we're only dealing with one leader of a group. We're not looking at a leader looking over three groups. I mean, that kind of got we were very ambitious with that.
It got
and, you know, we I quickly learned why other states haven't done this.
But we're there, you know? We're there, so.
So Pat, are you saying that from this point forward, we're going to address one technical rescue group, discipline at a time?
I think so. Now, there's no reason, once we get into it, we may find a, where we can stagger a start of a second group. In other words, as the first group is, you know, and I'm just making this up, I'm just saying that they're 60% done, then maybe we could start another group and run them parallel for a short period of time. But I would not start two of them at the same time. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, here's my concern, is if we basically do one group at a time, a new standard's going to come out, and then we're going to have to go back and revise all the previous disciplines at that time. So if you've got five, just for example, let's say we got three disciplines that are in place. We're working on a fourth, and then a new standard comes out. So now we're working on a fourth one that's going to have to come off the new standard. Then we'll have to go back and revise the test banks and the skill sheets for the previous three.
That shouldn't be near as hard as building from scratch, though.
So are you wanting to do more than one at a time? Or are you saying we do one at a time until there's a revision and we don't do any new during revision? That's what I'm trying to figure out what you're meaning at.
I would say if we did them right, and I don't know how what the best way to do it is, if we want to do it half a year apart, or like you said, when they get 50% through with their project work, then we can start up another one. I'm just saying that we got some good intentions here, but there's going to be some consequences in the end. And one of those is that no matter how we stagger this, when it comes up for a renewal of the standard, they're all going to have to be renewed at the same time.
Oh, because they're all under one standard.
Yes.
I'm following you now.
Yeah, because if we have, just say down the road, way after I'm gone, we've got 10 different technical rescue standards out there, and then the NFPA comes out with a new edition of 1006. Okay. All 10 of those certifications are going to have to be reviewed and make sure they meet the requirements.
My experience with that, though, with it and 1670 both, is that standard changes very little. And if we're looking at the reference materials, like, for example, Slim Ray's water rescue book, Swift Water Rescue, that we're using for the water rescue cert, that book is what I learned from 20 years ago. I don't even know if there's a new edition of it. So I don't. But what I'm saying is, as this stuff, they send out the renewal for the NFPA standard, changes are going to be minimal.
What do you like when you do firefighter?
Sure.
When we do firefighter, we're still looking at the same references. It's just a new edition, and we have to go and cross-reference to a new page number. Because pretty much the same information's in there.
Right. So what I'm saying is that if the reference doesn't change, and the standard itself has minute, if any, changes at all, the refresh process on that's going to be very minimal, because we can go through it pretty quick.
If we look at the timeline right now, we have ropes grandfathered up here till October 25. And if we're able to get some, get the Swift surface water and or Swift water ready by then mm-hmm. that's 25 to 26. The new 1006 is 27. We're right up to the renewal. Right. So I don't know why we'd try to get another new one done before that.
Exactly.
And just to add on to that, I mean, if we're still going under the standard that all, or we're only doing one grandfather period per standard, I mean, yeah, it's, we're looking at pushing this out another, like you said, 13 years, either way.
But we just did two, right? We did fire marshal and
Well, it was two.
Incident commander?
It was two. The statement was made grandfathering two within the same discipline. Discipline meaning technical rescue was the.
Oh, okay.
Didn't want to do that. You could do two disciplines, but you couldn't do two within a discipline.
It's probably going to take another 10 years to get the certs that we want to offer.
Well, yeah, and I'm guys, we've all been here long enough to know things change, okay? And things happen, and things happen that are out of our control. Either changes in staff can always happen. I mean, good Lord, we all lived through COVID. That was a huge change for everybody. Nobody planned on that. So I'm just not a big fan of doing long range plan. I think it's valuable to look and see what, you know, where the cliff might be, where we might fall off at some point. But I think for now, I think we just need to wrap up, get the water folks back, get them wrapped up, and not do anything new until the 27 standard comes out, and then maybe we develop a different approach at that point. I don't know.
Basically everything.
That's
to hear.
That would be my suggestion. Any other thoughts? Is everybody okay with that plan?
Sure. Plan we have right now.
Okay, then that's the way we'll run. All right, so going back to what we said, if you've worked with Chris,
absolutely,
let's reach out to all of the technical rescue folks and see who wants to continue being a valuable part to get this water thing up and going, and I think we'll be good.
We can do that.
Okay. All right. Next is item 6, discussion and possible action on the activation of various ad hoc committees. A lot of what we've been talking about kind of rolls into that, so I don't want to repeat all that. What I will say I would like to do is for our next meeting is to revisit this, and in the meantime we'll work on some notes on how to develop these committees, some criteria, expectations. You know, we talked about some of that. I think that's important. Participation, expectations. We can talk about that now if you all want to, as to what you think as a bare minimum we'd like to see. We can't write it up today. We don't have time, but at least we can discuss it. So anybody has any thoughts on that? I had a few notes. If I can find them, I've got so many notes here. Lots of paper. 66 applications. That's good. You know, it shows people are interested. I'm good with that.
Shows you how important that certification is, but not people.
You know, it is important considering what our state has been through in recent years.
Yes, sir.
We certainly made the news for some big events. Okay, I'm drawing a blank here. I just saw it. Here it is. Last page I got to. There we go. All right. So expectations. One of the things.
Attendance
was has been an issue for this committee, for some people, and other committees. So I think we need to draw up some criteria for attendance. Expectations, I think.
Participation.
Yeah, participation, and providing some expertise. Okay. What else did we have? Being able to work within the group.
I
talking about for all committees?
Yeah, these are just general, item six is more just very general scope of being on a committee for.
Okay, so personally, I think, and I know we've made some exceptions, most recently with the emergency management thing, but I really think everybody on the committees needs to be either instructor two or above. And I say that because by the very framework of our curricula, you have to be an instructor, or what instructor two does is they can write curriculum and they can write test instruments. So if you're putting an instructor one on a committee, and you got somebody that doesn't really have any experience whatsoever, at least classroom experience, on how to properly put together a lesson plan or a test questions or design a skill sheet.
This is for all ad hocs?
For all of our ad hocs. Yeah. Now, like I said, we made an exception to the emergency management thing because there are educational instructor courses in emergency management and law enforcement and in the EMS world. And a lot of these other applicants have been through, other than fire service folks with an instructor two or higher background. They have been through formal training, which they would accept our instructor two certificate in reciprocity for certification in their areas. So I think that's a consideration. Now, we pretty much opened it up to everybody in instructor one or above, I think, for technical rescue, because we knew we were going to have a problem maybe with finding a diverse amount of folks for those individual committees. That might be something we want to look at down the road if we're going to start doing individual technical rescue discipline ad hoc committees.
So I think probably the best way to do that is to say something like, we could say instructor two preferred. If you say instructor two preferred, that leaves it open for all the other disciplines. If we want to not require instructor two, they could still qualify.
If I may, because I think the document you're currently wanting to talk about is a structure for all ad hoc committees going forward. The instructor two, preferred or not, I feel like that's something that would be more apt to discuss in each individual application instead of just a rule for all ad hocs, because you're going to have to come up with requirements for each post that you do.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we may be looking for some other specific certifications, pre-existing certifications, that might not be universal.
And there might be a time where we're looking, I mean, we're already doing emergency management now, there might be a time where we're looking for something very, very far outside the realm of fire.
If we were to create a document, let's say, other than maybe a checklist type document, and you go through, all right, on this, and it may, one section you may not require instructor, it may be a preferred, it may be a, mm-hmm. you know, and then next down, it might be something else that just got to, that way you're tweaking it per discipline, but basically the same documents going out, you're just tweaking a little bit, but it looks the same every time. But because you can pull up now, it's all different criteria on everything we do.
So
it'll still be the same, but it still give you a framework.
So maybe we should set that as the goal, is to have instructor two or above. but then we can make decisions, exceptions for each committee. Because whenever Holden said that about we may be going for something far out there, the two things that immediately came to mind, one was TCO, telecommunicator operator, dispatchers.
Okay.
You probably have a hard time pulling a pool of dispatchers or people with a dispatch and communication background that they may not have any
teaching.
Yeah.
Right.
Instructional background at all.
Are we looking at that?
I know that's something that I've heard people ask for over the years.
T-Cole already does that.
Yeah, T-Cole
Yes, they do.
As Pat said earlier, everything in the state changes without notice sometimes. I mean, but I think what we're working on now, look, in my head, looks more like an agreement for these committee members to agree and meet upon approval. They're still going to have to get approved. This is just a guideline. If, you know, someone isn't working, isn't showing up, we have that out to be able to just replace them and get somebody in that does.
Yeah. So, yeah, we go back to expectations was what we how we that's where we started on this.
Okay.
All right. Well, and I think we could in a guideline, you know, committee guideline, we could also make a comment about the number of people, but leave it open to the demand. Whatever, like, we're not going to get 66 people to apply for Marine. Okay, so
there's only 380 in the state,
right? So we have to just be. We don't want to back ourselves in a corner writing something that we can't live with. But I do think we can write something that would be helpful once someone gets on a committee and help us manage those committees, because we got quite a few committees that are out there. So that was kind of where I was going, was we need to make sure we're consistent between the committees, and we can't really do that until we start putting something down on paper to follow. So,
well, I think the new twist on some of that is that the committee's over with once you're done with that session, lack of better, because we've all been reactivated committees we thought we were done with, I think.
Yeah, but we need to more formalize that.
Right.
And reintroduce the, you got to apply, and because that's consistent with what's going on at with our committee and health and safety and firefighter advisory, all of that. So we need to, those kinds of things where I want to be.
Because we had a guy on one of our other committees, he threw a fit because he didn't know he had to reapply. He thought he was still on it.
Right.
So that would help that. It's basically over. You still can serve on it, but you got to reapply.
Right.
At every.
Okay. Well, I'm willing to take these notes and go back and just draft up something that we can look at our next meeting. But if you guys will make a note to put it on our agenda.
Absolutely.
And then we'll have it for discussion for sure. And we'll have something we can read. Right now, we're just doing intake information. Okay. I think let's take a little break before we go to item 7. And so let's take a 10-minute break.
Turn your mics off.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember to turn your mics off before you leave.
So this next item, we're going to go line by line, and just I'm going to ask you if there's anything we need to be aware of for each of these.
That's fine.
So most of them, I don't think we have any action, but we're going to run the list, nevertheless,
right,
so that we can say we ran the agenda. So.
That's fine. Real quick, because I don't think we actually made a motion on number 6, so we'll need to close that one out to move on.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just to make a motion to table. We can come back to that at the next meeting.
Okay. All right.
Did we make motions on the other ones? I think we skipped one, but I mean, the other ones were mostly.
Do we need to make a motion for each?
line item to close it and table it?
No, they're...
Approving the minutes, that was a vote, so we voted on that one.
Are we hot?
Turn your mics on.
Our mics are on. Are we recording?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so we're back from our break. We're going to finish up item six, discussion and possible action on activation of various ad hoc committees. So I indicated I'd be willing to draw up some information. So my suggestion is we just table this until our next meeting, and then I'll come back to you guys with something on paper to look at, and then we can massage that out a little bit more.
And that's different from the Marine ad hoc we're seeking.
Yeah, the Marine is open, and we will be...
That is a different item.
This is, this is criteria to remain a member on an ad hoc committee.
Right. It's about setting expectations, lining that out. Okay, so we're going to move on then to item seven, discussion and possible action related to curriculum matters, including but not limited to reference materials, outlines, instructor information, equipment list, modifications, NFPA standards correlation, objective, and skill sheets four. And we're going to run the list. The first one, item A, is basic fire suppression. So we'll ask staff if they have anything that we need to be aware of regarding basic fire suppression.
Basic fire suppression is right at the start getting updated at any point. We have lead books, we have our stamper correlation sheets. It's ready to go. We just need either you guys to start that or to open up an ad hoc and get that started.
Okay, so let's talk about that with this group. Do we want to, in the past, we've kind of taken it on ourselves amongst our, do we want to put together a separate group, or what's your pleasure?
Pat, my suggestion is that, you know, the last time we updated the basic curriculum, there were very little changes. And we handled that at our level. I mean, I think we had to make maybe one new skill sheet, and there was maybe one or two JPRs that had changed. Why don't we look at what the changes are, and if there's a significant amount of changes as far as new JPRs, then we could see a group and do that. The biggest challenge on that's just going to be test bank review and correlation.
My experience with, because this is circling back to the 10-10 consolidation, if it's anything similar to what we've been working with on ARF, the changes are minimal, and most all of it is just the numbering changes, changing with the 10, you know, like 1001 to 1010, and the chapter change.
My only concern is on that is our workload's pretty deep now, and we barely get through our entire agenda on the workshop just with our 2 days of meetings quarterly or however often. I've never been through the firefighter update, so I don't know, but I'm just saying we got a full list now, and we didn't get to everything this go around. So that's just my only little bit of concern.
Yeah, I think we should consider an ad hoc committee. I feel like the last time or two we've done ourselves and kind of patched it up. But I know the last major revision, we still kept instructional skills and testable skills. And I know there's always been confusion over that. And maybe it's time to relook at the whole thing now that we're years into the new format and see if we still need all that information in there.
Yeah.
And then give other people exposure to the process. And I know that's a concern throughout our industry.
Have you guys on staff, have y'all looked at the changes? So you can't give us any direction as to the magnitude of, okay.
So do we have new correlation sheets?
We do.
Okay.
That's
they have all the stuff ready. We're just trying to decide when and how we want to start.
Well, I don't know if it was, Pat, I don't know if it was the last meeting or the meeting before that. We were talking with Holden and other staff members about the availability of the correlation sheets for certain disciplines. And there was a couple that, I mean, has anything changed with that?
Yeah, we've gotten pretty much all of our consolidation correlation sheets that needed to get are now.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest things we were waiting on in R for the longest time.
So right.
We finally got that one.
So, what do you think about this? Why don't we, at our next meeting, let's put it on the agenda to visit the basic fire suppression updates and make a plan on how we're going to conduct those updates. That'll give us time to see, like I said, the magnitude, because I'm real reluctant to put anything out right now, and we're going to do this until we see it. I think what Sam said is true. In the past, if it's minor changes, we might be able to handle it, but I also see Chris's point about, wait a minute, there may be a little more at stake here. So I think I'd like to put it on our next agenda. And my hope is that you guys would maybe just do a cursory search and just kind of get an indicator of.
And that's fine. You know, we can kind of look at the correlation sheets from that
standpoint,
but
okay.
Other than that, we can't get too much into the picture from itself. Or
yeah, no, novices, let's say no, that. I get it. But you know where changes are.
Yeah.
And you can say there's small number of changes, or holy cow, they changed this whole section. And that's all, I think that's what we need, and that'll give us time to plan.
Is this one of them we can use the new test bank as well?
Actually, it's coming out. I don't believe they've finished that.
But that's something
yet, but I think it is
before our next meeting, we can figure the logistics there.
Okay. All right, let's move on to item B, basic aircraft rescue fire suppression.
So on our... We kind of made our own correlation sheets waiting on these to come out. And so back in the spring, we started going through the curriculum and also the skills manual. And we have updated everything. The correlation sheets just came out. So I've had some guys in our team that are good participants, and some kind of going back to what we had talked about with attendance and participation. I'm in the process of basically doing a roll call to see who wants to continue on the ad hoc committee, because we've had one that moved out of state and two or three others that have kind of expressed interest that they may want to step down. So I want to confirm that before we move to the next phase, which is to go back to the actual correlation sheet and vet everything we just did. We're waiting on a new textbook to come out, which is plausibly, I think we decided February. And so we wanted to get that because if we didn't want to do a January release date, which it's too late now, but we originally worked towards that because we'd been told the textbook would be coming out in, say, September. That's been pushed, I think, to February at this point, and so we want to make sure that we get the correct textbook to go on the curriculum as well. We're still on target, I think, to see that thing in February, and then we'll start vetting all the questions, but in my mind, I think we're looking at maybe a June release date for the updated curriculum and skills, assuming that they don't postpone the book again.
Who's the publisher?
It's IFSTA.
Okay.
JMB keeps threatening to put one together, but I think they got through about three or four chapters with their technical committees, and then it kind of got pigeonholed somewhere.
Sure.
So we're still leaning on IFSTA to be our textbook. I believe that'll be 7th edition, ARF.
A new one?
Yeah, because I think 6 is out right now. But don't quote me on that 100%. But that's where we're at right now, is we've pretty well got the curriculum updated to the 10-10 standard. We just want to go through one more time and vet it against the new correlation sheet, and then put the proper textbook on there, assuming that they're still on target.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Item C, basic marine fire suppression.
So if we refer back to item three, we did act, we did discuss and act on the Marine Ad Hoc Committee. We're reopening that up, try to get some more participants. Sam brought up a really good point about textbooks and waiting on the publishers. With the revision cycle being what it is with some of the standards. The text generally come out after the standard comes out. So our reference list sometimes does not correspond with the most current edition. I guess what I'm getting at is with the way NFPA is recodifying everything, the new textbooks may be put together differently for all of the disciplines. And I'm like Sam, the Marine Committee, there's really only one textbook out there. There's a couple of internet sources, but really the only textbook out there is the IFSTA book.
All right, item D, fire inspector.
The committees have been meeting, the ad hoc has met a couple times. We finally got our correlation sheets, and so they're going through that process to update that and some questions. So it's in progress.
Is there a date for the new curriculum con?
No, there's, I think, well, we pushed it back. I think ours was in January. Deal two, and right now, so I think we moved it June or July, didn't we? I think
June,
last time we met.
25, possibly.
Yes.
We're hoping. Yeah, it should be. We should be able to meet that. It just,
yes.
We were on the hook with them waiting on correlation sheets mainly. I don't think we have the book we're using is recently updated, and we got all that in hand too.
And what was the change with the levels?
All right, so the inspector deal, we are going through that. Right now we're going through the main inspector, but our understanding is this new first responder inspector, that it'll be a standalone, and we'll have to work through with this group and others how we end up doing the rules, but we think that the first responder inspector is going to have to be a need at some point, but it can be a standalone without... It's not a stepping stone to the next one, but if you want your guy to have this first responder, and it's pretty spelled out, it'd be a shorter course and that kind of thing, but that's what we're looking for, it to be separate now. Some of the, you know, it's been back and forth whether that first responder inspector should be kind of under the umbrella of a full-time inspector per se, because my understanding was that a lot of the fire chiefs wanted that, didn't think they needed full inspector, but they wanted to let them do stuff. So if you have a standing fire marshal, then they can do them. And it's spelled out in the first responder inspector what you inspect, the mom and pop shops, that kind of, it's pretty spelled out, but I don't think it can take, you know, where they can go do licensed facilities and stuff like that. So we got to kind of, in the rules, address that. And I don't know how that looks, but that's...
That will be different because we really don't have anything in any of our rules about function, job function, what you can and can't do with that certification.
When the first responder inspector in the NFPA part, it does spell it out what facilities that you're eligible to do, where the fire inspector.
So, but the fire commission doesn't
have a rule about actually making inspections. There is no fire commission requirement to conduct inspections.
Yeah, so that's why the NFPA land.
It has to be certified, but, and maybe we, I don't know, we don't have to work on it now, but I'm just, we have to be very careful, because we're stepping off into what you can and can't do with that certification.
This group's going to help mold that, tweak that, how that goes forward, because it's, I mean, but the NFPA spells it out pretty good, but how to mold it into what we do in Texas is different, I mean.
Isn't that similar to instructor, though? I mean, because an instructor one can do X, and instructor can do
I think so.
Y, and instructor three, I mean, so it's kind of a
it's a
base model, and you have to go back to NFPA to look at what,
right?
You know, because those are limitations based on your level of training and experience.
I don't think it's unattainable. It's just we haven't done it that often with this.
Yeah,
but it, you know, and even I would like to see it work under inspector. I'd hate to see a first responder inspector in a small community in a rural area signing off on stuff he probably shouldn't be. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Do we know, and Tim, you may be able to help, do we, in our, we talked yesterday about assignment. So when a firefighter is assigned, do we have a drop down for firefighter, ARF, inspector, investigator?
Most of those, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm wondering if that isn't where we would put this first responder inspector or whatever.
That's the name of first responder inspector.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons we wanted to really keep it a separate certification. That way there's no question as you're either this or you're inspector, because they're combined in inspector one and two. So now basically you're an inspector or you're not. Okay. One and two's gone, and then you have plans examiner. So it'd be first responder inspector.
And then plans examiner. Okay. I'm just throwing that out there as a, that may be easier than writing a rule on what you can and can't do. If you have a duty assignment, and the only rule may be for the department, you cannot have just a one or only
first responder inspectors.
You must have at least one inspector. And then you can have however many first responder inspectors under that person. And that kind of supports what you're thinking.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right?
Okay.
So that's going to take revising several rules to get rid of inspector one, inspector two, and one.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
And if we're looking at June, that needs to happen soon, because I'll have to go to the commission twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, we would have been ready. Or could have been ready if it had not been to hold up with some of the JPRs and the textbooks. So,
but y'all haven't started working on rules. That's what Chris is saying.
Yeah. I think we hit the low-hanging fruit trying to combine Inspector 1 and 2 the last time we met. We hadn't even tackled the, well, we might have touched on it. We realized that we were over here, but on the first responder inspector. But we have started kind of mingling with the rules. But like I say, we probably would need some more help on that from our group. Get some of Sam or somebody come visit the day we.
So are we bound by any of our existing rules to have it implemented June of 25?
I think as of right now, to maintain compliance with IFSAC, we just have to have it done, I think, within 2 years of the standard change.
Oh, yeah.
When was the standard change?
Last year. No, that was 24, right?
Yeah, they just changed it on the last standard, whatever.
Are you sure it's two? I thought it was three.
From my understanding, it's two, because if you did it with Pro Board, it's only one.
I mean, we don't want to hurry anything, you know. But
at least that's...
We are steadily meeting, and that's the rule is out of top.
Well, here's what I think. The issue is not going to be with the curriculum. The issue is going to be with the rules.
Yes.
The rules are what is going to draw the attention, and I'm thinking we need to verify that implementation date to remain in compliance. Let's, can we get?
I can do that.
Yeah, if you.
I can reach out to IFSEC.
Yeah, if you'll do that for us, that'll help.
And I do know IFSEC was working on putting something together to help with this process for the inspector in particular, with combining, because I think there's parts of three that are in that standard as well now. So we would have to incorporate a little bit more from what we do now, but most of it will stay the same. Okay. It's just switching it from one and two to just inspector.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at, I think June 25 is probably going to be a...
aggressive.
Yeah, so...
And how often
but,
we meet.
But I don't want to say put a date until we know where our target is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that being said, for you in particular and the extra help that you need, I know a little bit about rules and laws.
No.
And then we do have our attorney that would absolutely right. help us.
And some of these guys, they look at a different angle than I've never put it from scratch. That's why I did. But yeah. And that may be, I think we meet for a second week of January, somewhere in there. I think it's back to back. It's fire inspector and it's a 4-day day. I'm making you come in 4 days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's a marathon meeting.
Well, it's 2 days for one, 2 days for the next.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And it may be up back. I don't remember which committees, but.
Yeah, I scheduled vacation for that.
Look you.
Okay, let's move on then to item E, plan examiner. Buddy, do you have anything?
We know it needs to be updated. We're trying to go through some of the questions. We're still getting beat up on, you know, we've been through a lot of these questions that may not have got updated in farm for whatever reason, or it never come out of testing farm and stuff like that. So we're working through some of that stuff with the plans examiner. And then there were just some crappy questions in there as well.
Okay.
But then some of them, we get in there and it's as plain as day. And it's 50-50, or I mean, you know, it's hard to change what's painstakingly obvious. So it's very hard when you're trying to go through a question and a lot of people missing it, and it's too obvious to. So anyway, that's where we're at on plans examiner.
Okay, item F, fire investigator.
Well, we touched on it during this meeting. The workshop yesterday was doing,
right.
And I think you sent that back to committee to tweak just a little bit to finish that up, but it's ready to go pretty soon after that.
Yeah, I think that one is looking at a June, and I think we can absolutely hit that target.
Okay. So we do not have to present that next week at the commission meeting.
Okay. No. Ropes is going to the commission next meeting, but that one will go to the meeting after, or I guess actually once we get it back and verify it, we'll go to the next meeting after that.
Okay. Item G, hazardous materials.
So we got the update done. It went into effect in...
June, I believe, this past year?
I think it was.
24?
It was June 1st. Bad news is, I think the new standard's going to come out in 2026, I think. 2026. Now, that's another one of those standards where they've changed things again. Now you've got all your hazmat stuff under 1070, I believe that's right. And then within 1070, you're going to have your 472. I think there's going to be a 471, which is going to be a kind of a guide for hazardous materials and WMD operations. They're going to have 143, which is going to, not 143, excuse me, wrong reference, 473, which is going to be medical, and then all your standards pertaining to your PPE will also be in there. But the primary two that we've been working on for updates in the past, or at least the last two go-rounds, is the the 1070 and the 472.
Okay.
Right, actually, that should be 1072.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's, yeah, it's all, that's what they've combined it all under.
1070.
Right.
But in the past, what we've been looking at is just those subchapters. So it's just like with the 1010, you know, everything's in one spot.
Okay. All right, item H, driver operator. Anybody got anything on that?
Daryl's not here, but I believe at the last meeting, everything was good to go. I'm not sure when it's up for revision, but everything that he indicated was that everything was good to go at that time.
So we're looking at a consolidation chart with NFPA.
Is it part of 1010 now?
What?
Driver operator, is that part of 1010?
The driver operator got combined with structural.
1010.
ARF and.
Yeah, it's in 1010.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't see any of that.
It's blurry.
I'm like,
hey, stay around.
That's a little better.
So, what year? Does it have a year on there somewhere?
Last year. 24, isn't it?
It says 24, but it was released in October of last year.
I think so, something like that.
Yeah.
The release date.
That's what they always release it.
But like still, that means we need to do an update on driver operator.
Yeah.
So we need to do an update.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's add that to next meeting agenda, and hopefully Daryl will be here and we can. Okay.
Is that also showing that fire and life safety educator and inspector's going to have to be updated too? No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm sorry.
No, you got Marine, airport, driver operator, firefighter one, firefighter two. That was the what I called the big four. Okay. All right. Item I, fire instructor. Staff have anything on that?
No. I don't think we've had a meeting on instructor in quite some time.
When is it up for renewal?
It looks to me like it's going to become 1020, and the next edition is 25.
So we got a little buffer room there. That's one. That's another one of those that we've kind of held on to that puppy and handled those updates ourselves.
Yeah, and I would like to continue doing that.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see when we get there. Again,
I don't think there's going to be any major changes. Last time they took a JPR out of Instructor 2 and put it in Instructor 3, and they took one out of 3 and put it in Instructor 2, and that was a big change.
Okay. Item J, fire officer. That is...
1020
or something? I still can't read it. That's so small.
I believe that says 1020, which would be coming out next year.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's NFPA 1020.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's in the release is
25.
Okay.
Joining fire officer and fire instructor.
So, Chris and I have worked on this together off and on. Chris has been carrying the vast majority of the weight on this project, but I've had to do some skills examinations here recently for Officer 3 and for Officer 4, and I've had people call me asking about those skills examinations. I think we need to look at revising those two skills, because they're all jumbled into one.
Right.
We need some more direction, more instruction. on how that is supposed to be utilized. We need to expand on it a little bit more to where it's clear to people. I mean, I knew what to do because we put it together. But, and I've learned that with some of the other skill sheets too. Like, I had some people asking about some of the hazmat tech skills. And I think we just need to be very careful in review and not only use proper grammar, which we always do, but let's also make sure that it's clear and understandable for folks.
Okay. All right, anything else on fire officer? Okay, item K, incident safety officer.
I don't know if that falls in there.
That looks like it's in, it's 1550 now, and the current edition is this year, 24.
Yeah.
1550?
No, incident safety officer.
Okay.
So that needs looked at.
That needs to be looked at.
I mean, we can discuss that at our next meeting if we want to, but that's one that we're probably going to need to put an ad hoc committee together. Okay. Chuck French and I did a lot of the work on that, and
why don't we look at what the changes are like we're doing with the firefighter? Because the last update I did, and it was basically all they did was add decon to.
Okay.
All right. So let's do a review of 1550 at our next meeting, incident safety officer. Again, just to get an idea of whether we need a group or not need a group.
Biggest thing on that's going to be how soon we get the correlation sheets, because with the remember how NFPA used to be real nice, and they would put the little red line in the margins to identify new changes.
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore.
I know.
They put a little delta symbol.
Oh, they do?
And you have to figure out what was changed from that.
Oh, okay. But
there's a way you can also click on it and bring up the previous edition side by side.
Okay.
And you can look at
and link.
Nice.
I didn't know it.
Yeah, see, if you see the triangle, the delta.
The last one I looked at, I was going through there looking for the red lines. It's like a map. They don't have any more red lines.
In means new language, and then delta means change.
Okay.
And then there's another symbol for stuff that was removed.
Okay. Item L, wildland firefighter. Anybody have anything on that?
I think at one point we were talking about putting a committee together on that one. That was previous to the emergency manager stuff, so that has not moved. Direction has changed slightly on that one, so we needed to readdress that at some point. But as of right now, last thing we did anything, at least not even as a commission, last thing we did was to kind of update some of the rules behind it just to get it in line with NWCG's curriculum a little bit more, but we haven't looked at the curriculum itself in quite some time.
So here's the deal with, from my perspective, with wildland. You know, one of the things we probably should ask for to have handy, either prior to or at these meetings, is a list of certifications and pass rates for like the last 6 months, and how many new certifications in each discipline we're getting. Because if I'm not mistaken, the last time we talked to staff about this, we had a handful of wildland firefighters out there, but very seldom saw anybody taking the test. Is that true?
Overall, yeah. Most of the firefighters that are wildland certified today have gone through NWCG's course and took their test, did not have to take our test. Now, what I am noticing is we are getting a lot more TCFP training facilities that are getting certified in wildland. Those facilities will only be able to do the test with TCFP.
Right.
And
we haven't looked at that test in a minute either, so that, right. Both of those are going to be taken a look at some point.
I was just wondering if we could, have we ever made a recommendation to
eliminate?
Eliminate
it? Not to my knowledge, but that was some discussion we had several months ago, was there a need? I mean, that was kind of what was
the question. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
So right. You need to take it out.
But if we're seeing an uptick in training facilities, then
you might want to monitor it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, go through the update process. But
so the current standard now is 1140, and that was updated in 2022. So we are behind on getting it done.
But this one's not IFSAC, so it's not something that we're mandated to.
No, we only do NWCG for this. And the thought process was that anybody that wanted to get reciprocity would do it through NWCG.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So we're not under the gun on this one, okay. Like we would be others that are IFSAC.
And that is the same with Marine as of right now, unless we are looking at changing that.
Well, I think that was the long-term goal, was to do that after we got finished with the, well, do the update, bring it up to current FPA standard, and then seek IFSAC accreditation.
Okay, item M, head of department.
I think the last time I talked to somebody about this, they were having to go through and update some things on your site, on TCFP side of the stick.
If I'm not mistaken, this has been highlighted by the commission already for HOD. Uh-huh. I will have to double check that one, but I think it's been spoken on, and they were going to just update the skill sheet. Because that was out of date.
Yes, because it had
old
titles.
And,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So this is staff's doing that, or
okay. Yeah, I believe we're just working on that one ourselves.
Okay.
So here's a question I have to the committee. We have head of department. And you have head of department. Fire prevention only. Now there are plenty of TCFP activities out there that you have basically a head of department, but they don't have to go through head of department training. And one of those is being a program coordinator. So you're a program coordinator at a college or a university. You don't have to go through the TCFP head of department stuff, but you're still you're the head of the department, and you're responsible for maintaining, you know, the rules according to TCFP rules and regulations. What I'm asking is that something we should look at and then maybe suggest to the commissioners?
I don't know.
And the reason I say that is, let's say you've got a firefighter, and he's working part time at a college or a fire academy somewhere, and he wants to become a program coordinator for that institution, or maybe he wants to start his own program somewhere, I don't know. But he can do that, and he can file for his TPAs and everything, but shouldn't he need to go through the same process as those other folks had to go through?
Just to throw a thought out there. Because I know we're specifically talking about colleges, but any privately owned training
yes.
facility
yes.
doesn't have to have that.
Right.
But HOD, HODP and HODS are very specific on, you know, suppression fire departments and prevention-only fire departments,
yes,
where they are overseeing the actual department itself. I mean, yeah, they're looking at the training facility, but anyone else in the department,
yeah, I mean, you take,
an instructor.
You take a course coordinator from a program out of state, and he comes and he takes a job at Collin County because somebody retired. And, I mean, he's going to be subject to all the rules and everything, but he's not going to have any information up front about getting in contact with his compliance officer, the process that the, right, that the commission works under. He's not going to have any knowledge of what this committee does or what the Firefighter Advisory Committee does or any of that stuff.
Department for suppression and prevention only departments to the chief training officer, the CTO,
mm-hmm,
for a training facility. And there's a duty appointment for that,
right,
in our system. So we kind of look at that person as the head of the training facility, especially when they're standalone, like a college or a private. I'm not saying that they don't need something more like what you're saying, but that's kind of how we compare it.
But I think that would expedite the onboarding process for somebody who is moving into one of those type of positions or wants to assume one of those type of positions if they also have to go through that process. Now, I can understand not requiring that of a chief training officer for a department that does not have a TCFP training facility. All they're basically doing is in-house work and tracking CEs and all that kind of good stuff, and maybe to develop some in-house programs and managing those programs. That's exactly what an Instructor 3 is supposed to be able to do. But they probably need to know a little bit more on the compliance side going in.
I see what you're saying. I'm just going to ask the question, are we creating a solution to a problem that doesn't exist?
Good, that's kind of what I'm asking.
Has it been a problem? Do you find a lot of, well, I didn't know that, comments? Because that's really what we're talking about, right? When you guys in compliance go in to do something and you get the comment, well, I didn't know I had to do that. Then to me, that's where the problem is. Do
get that everywhere, even if the department has a head of department.
Well, that's true. I guess it's too broad.
That's
an easy out, right? Well,
I don't think we need to spend any more time on it.
No, but it's a good discussion point. But I
will say, and this might help alleviate some of your concerns. Any new training facility that goes out as of now, when they get their first certification, compliance goes and checks them. They have to. Before they can even put on a TPA, we have blocked them from being able to even start that until
they have a visit.
They get a preliminary or initial compliance.
Okay.
And that's where we can explain to them.
Okay.
What's required.
And that may be even better than the little course that
we have. Well, what I'm talking about is for the guy who takes over a coordinator program or at a college or a university,
see, yeah,
you know, you had it, or you were there, you moved out,
right,
I moved in, and what's to prompt me to know that? I mean, there's going to be some stuff that I'm going to know just because I'm a firefighter. Or if I was a firefighter in Texas anyway. But there may be some other things that they don't understand. Most people do not understand how the commission works.
True. Okay. Well, why don't we just, that seed's been planted, why don't we just kind of keep that discussion going? That's more of a rule change than a curriculum
thing. Right.
So we would probably have to visit with, if that's something you think,
that's something we might want to talk to
advisory committee about, or
the advisory committee about. We'll talk with Chief DeYear talked with Chief Lisco, talked with Chief Stillman, and find out if that's something that they think needs to be addressed.
And it will be labeled as Louis' idea. Louis had this idea.
Now, I'm going to get a phone call from all of those guys.
That's what I need. Okay. All right, let's move on to item N, fire and life safety educator.
Well,
anybody got anything on that?
I don't think they met recently, so I don't know much about where we're at on that. I know there were some updates, and they were talking about meeting at the first year, I think.
That's another one that got squeezed together with some other.
10:30. It's 10:30.
It's in 10:30.
It's in that same cycle as fire marshal,
which is
inspector and plans examiner. What year cycle is that?
10:30, so 24.
It's coming out this year for.
Yeah, I think they're planning on convening at first year.
10:30 says 2024.
Yeah, it's
clock's ticking. Yeah, we've been doing inspector.
So do we need to do anything, kind of like we're doing the others, take a look at it and see?
I think they're already kind of meeting because we had to consolidate anyway, so.
So they're.
We're waiting on JPR and everything for that.
Okay.
And then on that one, I know there was some talk, because each one, fire, now that I think about it, fire and life safety educator one is 40 hours or 80 hours, I think. I don't remember the number. Anyway, they're wanting to cut the amount of hours down. There's just too much. There's not enough material to cover the hours that's slated out. So I know part of the redesign, they want to trim both hours down in fire life safety one and two. I just don't remember the hours offhand, how many we're doing now.
So are you using... Or are you using basically the same people for all four of those?
No. It's different.
Different group? Different ones for each group?
There's very few that goes over to the other committee. It's completely different people.
Okay.
I think there's one that's on both inspector and fire and life safety. I don't think anybody else is double dipping anywhere on the other committees.
Does the inspector committee do the plan examiner?
Yes.
Okay.
Now that's all the same group.
Right. Okay.
Just because by default they were taking care of that anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Item O, incident commander.
That was updated this year.
Yeah.
There's a couple minor changes. I made the changes, and I think last time I sent them to you, last we talked about it.
I think you did send those to us, and that was prior to any other curriculum update we had ever done. So we will reevaluate, bring that up, and get that passed.
Yeah, I think it was just one skill she revised to include a couple new JPRs.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot done. It was pretty quick, easy.
But we also need to update the test bank.
That will be a little bit more of a task. I think.
Always
have we gone through feedback for that one?
Feedback?
Nope, that's one of the ones we still need to have feedbacks on. Okay.
So
that's another one I'd
what
be curious.
What are y'all saying here?
I mean, we're good on the curriculum as of right now, but we'll just need to start taking a look at test questions and feedbacks at some point for that committee. Or okay.
But have the updates been sent?
No, they've not been sent to the commission yet.
Okay.
And I don't know if they've come to this committee.
No, I think we had just gotten them like last meeting, and I think we kind of forgot about them, to be honest.
So okay. That's another one of those certifications. I know there was a flood of people that wanted to take the test during the grandfather period. How many people have we certified since then?
Oh, a lot. Now, I mean, that grandfather period was 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It's been a while.
So, I mean, we're still seeing regular interest in that one.
Oh, yeah. We just got IFSAC seal approved for our IFSAC seals for that one, and that's been flooding as well.
Okay.
So.
I think it just closed in 22,
December 22, I think so.
Yeah.
Incident commander?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was very, very new in 22.
Yeah, it was.
It was December 22.
So the question is, like in the last 2 years, how many more have we seen apply and test for that?
I mean, I still get
quite a few, but I can pull up the metrics right now, how many we have.
More importantly, how many certified training facilities do we have that carry that credential? So about
basically. Yeah.
$134 certifications.
Total?
Total.
We have quite a few of those in that grandfather period.
Yeah, it doesn't break that down.
They were scheduling tests almost daily in December of 22.
I'm out here. The hurricane shut off, I can hear.
Okay.
Nothing.
Anything else on incident commander?
So I guess what's the plan next?
We'll bring the curriculum out, have you guys approve it, and then we'll send that off to the commission for approval.
Revision okay. Probably by like June at least, or.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Item P, fire marshal.
Well, we can do it earlier. The commission meets earlier than that as well.
They're still cleaning up. The fire marshal consolidated. They met last Monday. So I think that's pretty close to, they don't come back through for a final check. I don't know where exactly.
Fire marshal, we're working through getting some more questions. When that one was first implemented, we did not meet all of the JPRs in the test bank. So that is one of the things that we've been working on with them. Of course, we've been having a few issues getting all of the questions that we're requesting right now, but working through it as we go. I think that one, as of right now, is also going to be scheduled for June, but it's getting close.
The grandfathering period's over with.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, and item Q, the last one, technical rescue.
I think we've covered that already today.
So ropes is going to go to commission next week, right? Okay.
Yep, the actual curriculum and manual will go to commission next week.
Yeah. And they're already testing on that, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're already
grandfathering testing. Yeah. What kind of numbers are we looking at as far as
pass rates?
Or no, number of people that are taking rope technical rescue rope. Do you have it up on that chart?
Of course, I can't tell you exactly how many tests we've given.
No, but 82 certifications and awareness and ops.
82? Now, that just started in October.
Let's see how many tests.
I do know demand for that is still high, and I have heard from testing that they are getting applications constantly, and even I'm getting emails and questions about the application process.
Well, that's why I'm asking. We knew we were going to get a lot. I was curious as to how much, and it'll go through that cycle. It'll be slow in the beginning, and then it'll pick up, and then right before the cutoff, it'll be like, you know, what? I got to do this now? So, okay.
A lot of exams.
Yeah, go ahead.
I noticed in the rule language that talks about the combined test for awareness and ops and technicians. Did that get changed in the rule wording? I thought originally it said you had to take two separate tests.
So there is an option for a combined test in the rule language right now. Yes.
It wasn't there in the beginning? Or?
There had been some changes that had happened at one point, but yeah, as of the last commission meeting that it went to, ropes did come and present that and had that changed.
We've had a few questions on that.
When will we know when that will be available?
That's a great question. We've sent that off to IT. They were working on doing a combined test. This was prior to all the issues we were having this last renewal cycle. I know it's in the works. It's supposed to come out during the grandfather period, so it should be very soon.
Will that be an announcement to everybody, or?
It should be. We should either, if we don't just blast email everybody about it, it'll definitely be on the website and Facebook page.
Because I could see some people holding off until the combined test, so I'm going to take tests, pay for one, and the later that occurs, the more we may have a backlog, that's what we're mm-hmm. towards the end.
Yeah. So, we'll say, as far as that goes, I think we're doing all of it, or mainly all of it, through online testing right now, so it shouldn't bog us down too terribly much. If it's all in one area, say Houston, they're all trying to go to one testing center, that might backlog them.
Okay, next item 8, discussion and possible action on matters from staff related to testing policy and procedures. Do you guys have anything?
I believe this was from a question that we had gotten.
And that's supposed to be executive session, whatever it was.
And I know, I want to say that was actually two meetings ago from when we were supposed to do that one.
Well, I know we asked. Yeah, I know we asked that meeting.
It's a session, so is it sensitive? Next to it. We're talking about 10 or 9?
No, we're on 8.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one. Apologize. I must have dozed off that.
I can't. I remember there being a question. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't remember the question off the top of my head to answer it right now.
Okay.
I will come back to y'all at some point, and I'll go back and re-listen to that meeting.
Okay. So obviously it's not pressing, so.
No, we can.
Yeah. Okay. Item 9, subjects for future curriculum and testing committee meeting agendas. We talked about putting the two things, a curriculum development guide, which you said you had some information, Chris, you would share.
Yes.
And then we also talked about doing the committee expectations document, and I think we gave you guys a list of disciplines we need to assess whether we're going to put a committee together, workload assessment.
Yep.
And you guys have that list.
I think we have the three. It's firefighter, IC, and what's the other one?
ISO was one of them.
ISO, thank you.
ISO.
Okay.
We have it written down in a note somewhere, I promise.
Anything else that you guys can think of that you for sure want to cover at the next meeting?
And this can cover anything from studies that you want done to even look at doing something else or anything else like that, if you have any requests specifically from us to know if it's completely obscene or not.
I know a couple of meetings ago, Pat, I don't think you were here for that one. We were looking at the numbers of certifications, new certifications, how well the pass-fail rates were at the academies, if we were identifying any problems with the pass-fail rate in any particular certification area. Just some running stats and stuff like that, I think, would be helpful. It would identify areas that we need to possibly address, and it may also tell us that we need to realign how we do certain things.
Would it be possible to have current number of certs are in each category, and then since we last met, how many were tested and passed or something to that effect, just so we can see a trend there, like we were talking about for Instant Command or Wildland. If there's not, I mean, if there's three people a year applying to test for this, is it something we really want to
put a lot of effort,
put those resources, allocate resources to, versus if we're seeing 100 a month, right, testing for something, then maybe that's more, especially for the voluntary SERPs, that we're not seeing that. I mean, they're speaking by testing, right? If they're not testing on something, they're saying they're not interested.
Well, yes and no, because you could have a situation where they're interested, they're just the courses aren't available. And that could also be the courses aren't available because there wasn't some interest.
Same thing, how many certified training facilities do we have in that certificate as well? Because if there's like ARF, you know, if there's five in the state, then it's really hard to go find an ARF class, especially when they're 80-something hours right now or more.
I know there's a couple programs out there that are certified in marine firefighting, but there's, I think, only one or two of them that are actually active.
How many ARF firefighters are there in the state?
A bunch.
There's a bunch.
If you're operating in an airport, you're required to have it.
I realize it'd be more than marine, but it's still, in comparison to structure firefighters, still a...
It's smaller.
Probably an inspector, probably range of it.
Yeah. You have to have basic firefighter before you can even have ARF, so it's going to be a proportion of that. Did we lose that link? Is that what we...
It can also be a...
ARF-certified firefighters in state Texas.
It may not also actively reflect how many active ARF guys we have out there. Because there was, of course, most of those guys retired. There was a grandfathering period there where a bunch of guys, just because they had their certification as a structural firefighter, they went ahead and got their ARF.
Right there. Up.
7,100, and I think that's...
And there's some guys that
started... How many fire inspectors? Are you there? How many fire inspectors?
Why don't you go back?
Yeah, go back. Hey, it's moving.
There you go. Since we can't see it up there anyway, so...
Yeah. What are we looking for? Fire inspector?
Yeah, just curious. Sorry to derail. I just... While he was there, I thought...
Well, then you also got to look at, you know, are you still appointed in that position?
No, I get it.
I'm 13,883.
Okay. I'm no longer appointed in ARF.
13,000.
I got a battalion chief that he had.
I'm not appointed in structure firefighter. I'm still one.
Okay. Anything else that we want to for sure see on the next committee meeting agenda? Okay. All right, I want to skip down to, that was item 9, I want to skip down to item 11. Let's go ahead and do future meeting date.
What month are we even looking at?
So are we looking January, do you think, or...
Well, you know, every time we have a meeting in January, it seems like we wind up getting frozen up here.
Up here.
When's the next commission meet in January?
That's actually what I was about to say.
Yeah.
We ain't butted up against their meeting.
News and events.
In a while.
I don't remember if they've planned next year's meetings or not yet.
They'll probably do that next week, right?
I think they had started to get an idea, but they didn't finalize.
I'm already here the week of January 13th.
Go 4 days. Start in January.
Spent 4 days here.
Yeah, January. Yeah.
We're in it first come, first serve. If we get our schedule first.
First week.
Nope, because that's what happened last time. We got canceled.
Which is a DVD conference.
Yeah, so it doesn't look like we planned it yet, at least.
Yeah, I thought I heard they did that for the whole next year at the next meeting.
I think they had started getting an idea and a few date ideas were done, but I don't think they've
actually solidified anything.
But do y'all want to, first thing I'd like to say is I think our next meeting probably needs to be a 3-day meeting. Or 2.5-day meeting.
We keep putting our workload, it'd be a full 3-day one.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got the workload. We could spend 3 days working, but I know it's tough for some of us to get away from work for 3 days.
How about we look at the first week of February.
Anybody involved in the ESD departments, that's Safe D is the 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Yeah, it's also TAFE conference, but...
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I don't know if y'all go into it, but that's the week of TAFE conference. Mm-hmm. 2nd through the 7th.
Well, how about the week after?
I'm wide open. Except Friday's Valentine's Day. Just say. I don't want nobody getting in trouble.
Especially you.
Yeah, especially. I'll be lucky.
Well, who else involved in the ESD, Safe ESD, whatever they call it?
Safety.
Sorry.
That's a pretty big conference. I'll be at that one, but
okay.
I'm just one person.
Well,
I mean, if you did it like the Monday, Tuesday, and then I'd go straight over there Wednesday.
What about if we did? What about if we did the end of January? That last week of January. That's the week of the 27th, somewhere along in there.
I don't see complications.
See what the hotels look like.
We could do 28th, 29th, we could do the 29th, 30th.
If you do 3 days, you do 28th to 30th.
Yeah.
We can't do tons of questions.
Nope. Okay. Now we have to open.
Like hotels are expensive that week. No.
Executive session as of right now.
I don't know what's going on, but.
And the week after that is the Safe D, right?
Safe D is the 5th, 6th, 7th.
Yep. Right. So it's either going to be the 28th, 29th, 30th, or 11th, 12th, 13th. Of 11th, 12th, 13th of February.
I don't know. I might be tied up on the 11th.
What do we want? Pencil in the 28, 29,
30? Of January?
January?
Yeah, let Chris, he's still chopping his shift calendar.
Yep. I'm good. Yep.
28, 29, into the 30th? Mm-hmm. Sam?
I can do that.
Let's go ahead and let's pencil in our date for.
Not saying much.
Buddy, when's our meetings?
The meeting we do is January 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th.
Okay.
So we'll meet on Tuesday, January the 28th, Wednesday the 29th, and then 30th. We might be able to do like a half day or something on 30. It's my birthday. I want to go home. I'm going to be really old then.
49.
I wish. Okay.
So we'll target that. Okay. All right, so I think at this time, agenda item number 10 is matters regarding test results, development, IFSEC issues, personnel matters, and review of test questions, and we do all that in executive session. So at this time, we will take a recess for lunch, and when we come back, we will go immediately into executive session. So anyone have anything else during our regular meeting? All right, we are in recess.
Quick one, like 2 minutes.
Good. Okay, it's now 1:12 p.m. on November 14th, 2024. At this time, the committee will go into a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss test development, IFSEC issues, personal matters, and review of test questions under agenda item number 13. The committee requests that all non-committee members leave the room except for curriculum staff and Holden Winger.
We're good on the recording now.
Item, agenda item 4. And go ahead and just read it. You know, discussion and possible action related to TDM.
You second that, man.
Just read it.
And do you have the list of everyone? Yeah, make the second motion.
I'll read the names off or will Pat read the names off?
No, read the names. I'm not going to read the names off. Somebody okay. else.
I can read names.
Yep, you can if you want. It doesn't matter.
But just, yeah, reopen number 4. And yep. then. Okay. You second, and then yeah.
But let me get it open first here. Okay. It is now 4:36 p.m. on November 14th. Our committee is now back in open session. Does anyone have anything they want to revisit?
I'd like to make a motion that we reopen the emergency manager's item. What is it, 4?
4
on the agenda.
Okay, item 4, discussion and possible action related to the Texas Department of Emergency Management Ad Hoc Committee.
Do we have a second?
Second.
A second.
Okay, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, ayes carry. Anyone have any recommendations?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion after our committee doing a thorough look at all the applicants that was submitted. The committee suggests that we would like to make a motion we accept Aubrey Holmes, Brad Britton, Carrie Little, Jamie Galloway, Jeffrey Johnston, John Klingeman, Joshua Taylor, Ken Bell, Louis Havens, Mark Salone, Mariah Phillips, Mark Chadwick, Mark Morgan, Martin Ritchie, Nikki Bender, Paul Aris, and Shaquina Nobles. And it's my understanding Louis is a liaison on that committee from the CMT. That's my motion.
So you had read Mariah. I believe you said Phillips. Did you mean Mariah Phipps? We have a Mariah Phipps on the list.
Yes, Phipps. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mariah Phipps. Phipps.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve the appointment of 16 individuals. And as I recall, this is a good representation of Department of Emergency Management regions. Does anyone have any comments?
Or a second?
I have a second.
Second the motion.
Okay, second motion. Any comments?
Only comment, I think you said 16, and including Louis, it'll be 17 on that.
That's correct, yes. 17 total. 16 plus 1 is 17, correct. Okay, any other comments? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. We will accept these, and we will make notification to these individuals to let them know their status, and we'll be working with staff to get those notifications out as soon as we can. All right, so that brings us to
adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, meeting adjourned.
Good job, guys.
Good job.